Good morning, members. We are going to call this State and Local Government Committee to order. Good morning. I hope you had a good weekend. It was beautiful. Senator Scalzi checked in, so we do have a quorum. And we are going to call our council members. Members, the way we're going to do this, since we have quite a few members that are here, we're going to call 4 by 4. I believe there are 4 chairs, so we're going to call them in groups of 4. We're going to ask them to introduce themselves. You have their bios and appointment form in front of you so that you can get a sense of their background. And we are going to call Katie Rodriguez, Lorna Shriver, Gary Cunningham, and Carol Latowski first. So they are District 1, District 2, District 7, and District 8.
Great.
And we welcome you to our committee and are very appreciative that all of you are here. We were trying to figure out how do we bring 17 people and find a room at the same time and just kind of put it all together. So I want to thank my staff for being so diligent and getting on the phone with all of you and finding us the room. So we're going to do our best to accommodate members' questions and opportunities to interact with you. So we are going to start with Ms. Rodriguez. If you could please introduce yourself and let us know a little bit about yourself and anything you want to say in a kind of short period of time, we would very much appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to present today. My name is Katie Rodriguez, and I represent District 1, which is 11 communities in northwest Hennepin County. I live in Maple Grove with my husband and our 2 daughters, and my day job is with the League of Women Voters Minnesota. One of my main priorities in applying to Met Council was to build better relationships with local governments. My background is public finance, and I worked for cities for 11 years. Working with the communities in District 1 feels like going home for me. I feel my role is to work hard to understand their challenges and priorities, be their voice on the council, bring important regional information back to them, and ultimately to vote in the best interest of the region. It isn't easy. The council's focus is regional and long-term, and the cities often must focus on the short-term and their priorities. I feel very good about the progress I have made. 9 of the communities I represent submitted letters recommending my reappointment. I wanted to give you copies of all of them, but Judd assured me that wasn't necessary. I have also reached out to all of District 1's legislators, county and park commissioners, and met with most of them. My vision for the council depends on continuing to build these critical relationships. As you know, the council just passed our 30-year plan for the region, and we took on some tough issues. I believe that the direction we take as a region on those issues will determine our success. The next step is to continue conversations with local leaders on these long-term challenges, like what kinds of transportation investments will allow our region to compete? How do we continue to keep our wastewater rates 40% cheaper than other regions and to expand the system? How do we make sure all of our citizens have opportunities and access to success? Council members must engage with local leaders across the region to inform the debate on answers to these critical questions. In my time on the council, I have learned that our cities, counties, and people are very different, and they have unique needs. However, most people recognize that their success is either helped or hampered by the region's success. Assuring the region's success is Met Council's focus. And I stand for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Rodriguez. We're going to go through the 4 presentations, and then we will come back to questions. Mr. Ivor, welcome to our committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to tell you about my experiences and my vision as a member of the Paulton Council. My name is Lorna Shriver, and I serve my second term on Metropolitan Council, and I represent District 2.
In this district, four communities in Westchester County,
four communities in Southern Lenoka. I have 6 years at the local level and 10 years in the House. I finished my government related work in Lenoka County as their coordinator in 2009. When I first applied for the council seat, I stated in the interview process that I believed in the core mission of the council and that it brought a regional perspective and great efficiency to the delivery of our statutory mandated services. And this then translates to savings for taxpayers. At the same time, we need to continue to work at keeping a regional perspective and geographic balance to our delivery services. Madam Chair, members, this past term is for the council, as the law requires a new comprehensive plan, Council Member Rodriguez referred to, that plan has to be developed every 10 years. This entailed numerous additional meetings and outside public meetings. The process brought to me a stronger sensitivity, changing demographics, and the diversity of our region, and the diversity of our experience in the future. And it goes without saying that a large part of our outside engagement is and must be. After my first appointment, I met and introduced myself to the city council. Requests for these types of meetings have continued, and last week I had meetings with folks in two of the cities, and tomorrow I'll be meeting with our transit chief, Harrington, and members of the City of Brooklyn Center Police Department to discuss their transit committee. I've hopefully been as engaged, available, and involved as necessary. It is important that we keep lines of communication open, flexible in solving problems, and not too many
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Everett. Mr. Cunningham, please.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm happy to be here this morning. I've lived and worked in this community most of my professional life. And my strengths are based in my experience working in the private, public, and nonprofit sectors. Currently, I am the CEO and president of the Metropolitan Economic Development Association. We work with entrepreneurs throughout the state of Minnesota, particularly entrepreneurs of color, to improve their businesses and to grow the economy in Minnesota. I also have been a county administrator, a city planning director, Hennepin County planning director. And in these experiences, I've lived both in the urban and suburban areas. And what I've done over the past 4 years on the council is chair the Community Development Committee. And one of the things that I'm proud of is that the Community Development Committee just didn't sit in St. Paul and hold our meetings. We went throughout the district, and we continue to go throughout the district to build relationships with all of the jurisdictions within the metropolitan region. One of the questions that was asked is, what is my vision for the metropolitan region? And I'd have to say I agree with Governor Dayton in his 2015 inaugural address, where he said, quote, "Someone always believes that someone else is getting a better deal. Those rivalries are not going to disappear. However, they cannot be permitted to blind us to the larger truth that we are all one Minnesotan, Minnesota." And I'd say this same sentiment holds true for the metropolitan region. We are all one metropolitan region as a part of one Minnesota. I believe we have a common, we come from a many cultures, but we have one region interwoven in a common tapestry of community, living in the paradox of interdependence, intradependence, and independence, tied together in a common destiny of place. Our fortunes, our prosperity, and our futures are inexplicably tied together in a web of interlacing and mutual reinforcing connections and systems of transportation, environment, and economic opportunity. I actually agree with Governor Harold Levander, who, when he signed the legislation to establish the Metropolitan Council, he said, quote, "The Metropolitan Council was conceived with the idea that we will be faced with more and many more problems that will pay no heed to boundary lines, which mark the end of one community and the beginning of another. I believe this statement holds true today, and that I've worked over the past 4 years and will continue to work to ensure that we have a vibrant, prosperous region that works equally well for everyone.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cunningham. Ms. Lutowski.
Thank you so much. I'm really pleased to be here, and also in the presence of the council members who have been serving, it's really an honor to join them. I'm one of the newbies on the council, representing District 8, which is basically the eastern swath of Minneapolis, and also St. Anthony Village, both the Hennepin County side and the Ramsey County side. Again, my name is Kara Lutowski, and I come to the Metropolitan Council with over 20 years of experience working at the intersection of community and policy and politics, working with communities to better achieve their missions for themselves. And I did that. Welcome, Senator.
Thank you.
I've done that as staff to neighborhood organizations. I started an organization that provides affordable housing to low-income families in Minneapolis. I was a policy aide to former Mayor Rybeck, and in the last 4 years have been working as a consultant with communities. I believe that the mission of the council is to guide efficient and effective investments that strengthen the region as a whole. And even though most of my experience comes from Minneapolis and a little bit working in St. Paul, the council is a wonderful next level of thinking regionally. And how do investments in the core support investments on the fringe, and investments on the fringe support investments in the core? My vision for the region is to, and my role on the council is to help build communities of choice throughout the region. Ironically, the District 8 is also incorporates the neighborhood that I grew up in, South Minneapolis, and where I went to elementary school and where I went to high school. And for me, when I think about where do I want to raise my kids, it's very much that community. It's a place that's accessible by transit, that you can bike to places, that has easy access to environmental and parks and great assets. I know that everybody wants to live in the same community like the physical one that I live in, and to develop a region as a whole that is strong, we need to have communities that a variety of people want to live in, that provide a variety of assets. So through the Thrive plan that the previous council did all the work to develop, and I appreciate that, we now get to move into implementation. And to me, that is really focusing on mobility through our transportation and transit improvements, where we develop opportunities and ways for people throughout the region to access those opportunities. We want to help those opportunities grow by supporting the basics: housing options, transportation options, education, and economic opportunities for everyone. So those are the issues that I'll be focusing on in my time at the Met Council. You also asked about connecting with local officials, and I have deep relationships with people both at the park level, the city, the county, and even a little bit in St. Anthony, and want to provide that connection between the community and our government, and I'm excited to be able to offer that opportunity to the people of District 8.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Members, we have asked each member to present a little bit of what they envision as their work for the council, as you were able to hear their presentations, and also to touch on the issue that we have been discussing here in the Senate and the House as to how much they plan to engage with others, because obviously we that has been a topic of conversation here at the legislature. So I really appreciated that you cover those aspects about your background, your vision for the council, and how do you plan to work as a group. So thank you for doing that work, and I would like to open to questions, members. Any questions, any comments for any of the members? Well, thank you. Thank you again for coming. I want to say that I want to ask, if you don't mind, Ms. Rodriguez, I saw in your application the assumption for your last name is that you are Latina. That would have been my assumption, but in your application it says that you are not.
No, I'm not. My daughters are. Okay. My husband is Mexican, and his parents came from Mexico.
Thank you. I want to point that out because it's interesting. Ethnic group is very difficult to identify Latinos because of ethnicity. You know, many of us are of African descent or white, you know, different races. So typically in a form, we recognize the last name and associate that with the ethnicity of the person. And you will see that in counties and cities. They do that often. And I am somewhat, you know, disappointed with the lack of diversity that has been kind of present in many of the boards that we have confirmed here. I am appreciative that we have Mr. Cunningham. I have followed you in social media, and I know how immersed you are in conversations about diverse communities and serving the state in many aspects of our diversity in terms of gender, race, ethnicity, and income. And I appreciate your vision and your interaction with very diverse communities. So I hope that I know that you're going to bring that perspective to the council, and I hope that this administration will pay attention to some of the work that needs to be done. You represent the most diverse region in the state of Minnesota, and as such, I think it's important that we pay attention to that. So I know that many of you are committed to this issue, and obviously your ethnicity is not a complete factor on it, but I just wanted to point that out. That is, we have to make an effort to be connected with communities that really need our attention. So thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Jennifer Mundt, Dev Barber, Stephen Elkins, and Gail Dorfman. They are District 3, District 4, District 5, and District 6. Welcome to our committee, and we appreciate again that you are here. We're going to start with Jennifer Mundt.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Could I Senator ask, Madam Johnson. Chair, if the council members would tell us a little bit where you're from, I mean, what cities you can represent. I'd like to hear it from, because I don't have the map here. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. I think that's a good point, if we could start with the community that you come from. Welcome to our committee.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Jennifer Mundt, and I represent District 3 on the Metropolitan Council. I have been a resident of Minnetonka for the last 16 years. Before that, I grew up in the Prospect Park neighborhood of Minneapolis. My District 3 includes Chanhassen, Deep Haven, Eden Prairie, Excelsior, Greenwood, Long Lake, Minnetonka, Minnetonka Beach, Minnetrista, Mound, Orono, Shorewood, Spring Park, St. Bonifacius, Tonka Bay, Wayzata, and Woodland. 17 suburbs.
Folks, Madam Chair, that isn't totally necessary.
Folks, just by the way, each one of us at this table has 178,000 constituents. My skills and my experience are uniquely suited to serving on the Metropolitan Council. My day job is with AFSCME Council 5. We are the largest public workers union in Minnesota, representing 43,000 workers. We advocate for excellence in public services, dignity in the workplace, and opportunity and prosperity for all working families. I also serve on several boards where experience lends itself to the Met Council. I was president of Transit for Livable Communities. We are the largest transportation advocacy organization in the state with 15,000 advocates. I also serve on the board of Move Minnesota, which is advocating for transportation funding this session. And I serve on the board of the Jobs Now Coalition, which does the annual study of what a living wage looks like in each community throughout Minnesota. Prior to serving on the Met Council, I was the outreach coordinator for the Metropolitan Council. My job was to engage traditionally underrepresented communities in the planning that affects the work that we do, whether it's buses, flushes, parks, or affordable housing. Community members need to have a meaningful voice in the services that affect their daily lives. That was my job when I worked on the council, and it's my commitment now as a council member. I also was the executive director in the Nokomis Neighborhood Association. That was one of the NRP neighborhoods in Minneapolis, where we brought the community together around consensus on 40 different community revitalization projects. So my experience is in community-based planning. I believe in the work that we do at the Metropolitan Council. Our mission is to foster efficient and economic growth for a prosperous region for all people. We do that with outstanding public services, whether that's buses, flushes, parks, or affordable housing. We also anticipate the future needs of the region. For example, our aging population. How does our housing, how does our transportation need to change to meet those forecasted needs? We partner with local governments, and we provide them with the information that they need to plan a better future. And we work to achieve goals that no one city could achieve on their own, but can be achieved through the region. I'm committed to the region in my service on both the transportation and the community development committees. That's my passion. For Met Council, the sweet spot for a prosperous region is trying to connect workforce with jobs, trying to connect affordable housing with living wage jobs along the transit corridors where we're making investments. I'm committed to working with local governments to make sure that we achieve the maximum potential around every station on transit corridors that we're planning. That's a partnership that engages cities, counties, as well as all of the other local government bodies like the watershed districts. Together, we can plan opportunity-rich communities throughout the region. I'm also committed to establishing sustainable funding to double our transit system by the year 2030. What we read in the Star Tribune this weekend is that young people are choosing to leave the region. They come to thriving metropolitan areas where they have the choice of leaving a car in the garage and being able to walk and bike and take transit to school and to work. The key to a thriving region is going to be finding the transit that will support our future needs, whether that's an aging population that needs better metro mobility or a younger population that wants more choices to walk, bike, and ride transit. Connecting to local officials and to the community is important. As I said, it can be exhausting to reach out to 178,000 constituents. When I go home at night, my voicemail is full from people who have comments about the services that we provide. Being responsive to them is critical. It's also critical that we do outreach to traditionally underrepresented groups of people who rely upon the services we provide. I'm committed to doing that both in my district and through an authentic community engagement process that the council has developed. That process has become a model for replication by other governments around the state, and I'm extremely proud of that. We also need to engage local officials in our districts. In the next 4 years on the Metropolitan Council, I see several opportunities for doing that. We've developed Thrive, which is the blueprint for the region for the next 30 years. The next step is in developing system plans. Our system plans will focus on transportation, water, parks, and housing. I'm committed to making sure that the cities in my district and throughout the region are engaged in the development of those system plans. We also need to provide tools so that cities are able to do their comprehensive plans. That's something that we ask cities to do every 10 years. And I know in my district, there are a lot of cities that have a tremendous amount of anxiety about that. There are smaller cities that don't have planners, and we're making sure that those cities have the tools to do good planning for the future. I'm also committed to making sure that we continue to engage both cities and counties around station area development along all of the transit corridors that we hope to invest in.
Thank you, Ms. Mott. Ms. Barber.
Good morning, and thank you for having me here. I represent District 4. District 4 is the far southwest outer area of the region, so it's the vast majority of Carver County, with the exception of the city of Chanhassen, and the majority of Scott County, with the exception of the township south of Prior Lake. It's a very large district, which includes 15 cities and 17 townships. I myself live in the city of Shakopee with my husband and two boys. There I'm a business owner where I utilize my educational background in engineering in a medical device consulting company. We help medical technology companies develop their products, take them through engineering and development, and get them through the regulatory approval processes. In my business work, I typically work in a role of project management and strategic planning. In addition to that, I've made a point of being very involved in my community. I've served on boards at the city, school, and county level. A lot of that work has focused on education, health and human services, and economic development. What I learned in that process was for the education, people don't get a good education if they don't have a good place to live. You don't get good economic development if you don't have good transportation systems. And health and human services, if you have somebody who needs to get a step ahead, they can't do that without transit systems and workforce options. With that, that's what why I want to take my knowledge and background and my expertise and my desire for public service to a regional level, which is what led me to the Met Council. I feel for this district we need a strong advocate who understands the needs of the rural, suburban, and urban aspects of the district. What I think of Met Council, I think we need is important because we are stronger when we work as a region. In our metropolitan region, we are poised for ongoing growth. This brings great opportunity and challenges. To be strong as a region, we need to focus on creating sustainable economic development, which is contingent on strong transportation and transit systems, affordable housing, and workforce training that is accessible to our diverse population. We need to approach these areas in a manner that builds on our strengths as a region while interfacing with local governments and citizens to ensure that our cities and counties maintain their unique identities. I think this last part is particularly important. I think it's important to both be a representative of the council and think regionally, but also an advocate for your district. And it has to be a mutually respectful relationship. With that, I'm one of the new members. I've been on council just a few weeks now, and I've already made a point of going out throughout my region and talking to a number of the elected representatives at the city and county level, as well as at the staff levels, because often those are the direct people who we're in contact with. And so I think those relationships are very important, and they need to be ongoing. In fact, at Waconia City Council last week, I presented there, and the comments that I had to them was, this was not a flyby visit, this was the start of a dialogue. And that's how I intend to approach this, because I think in my district, there was a feeling that people needed to be heard more from the elected representative perspective, and I think it's an ongoing communication is the only way to be successful as this area's representative. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Barber. Mr. Elkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Steve Elkins. I live in Bloomington, and I represent District 5, which is Bloomington, Richfield, Edina, and Hopkins. I've served on the council for 4 years, and prior to that, I was a city council member in Bloomington for 9 years. Before that, I was a traffic commissioner and planning commissioner in Bloomington. Before being on the City Council, I was also a member of the Metropolitan Council Transportation Advisory Board. While a City Council member, I also served on the Bloomington Housing and Redevelopment Authority. and the Metropolitan Council Land Use Advisory Committee and the Metro Geographic Information Systems Policy Board. I was very active in committees, policy committees for Metro Cities, League of Minnesota Cities, and National League of Cities related to both economic development and transportation. Actually, was the chair of the National League of Cities Transportation Committee in 2010, chair of the Study Committee on Regional Community Development in 2009. So I'm very interested in the intersection of transportation and land use in particular, and I serve on both the Transportation Committee and the Community Development Committee of the Met Council. And say that I'm probably most proud of the work that we've done in the new regional blueprint and the associated system plans, and the way we've been able to integrate the different plans that we're charged with creating, and breaking down the silos between land use planning, transportation planning, park planning, and the way that we've managed to consistently insert equity considerations into almost everything that we do. So I'm very proud of the policy documents that we produced up to this point. So we're now shifting from the policy development into the implementation. This year is another key year for us, because we'll be reissuing a brand new local planning handbook, all of the system statements, which contain all of the basic information that individual communities need in order to prepare their next comprehensive plans. All of this information will be, issued to the communities around September, and from there we will be, shifting into assisting the cities we represent in implementing their own comprehensive plans. So I, for my part, meet regularly on a regular scheduled basis with all of my city managers and their senior staffs. Meet with my or speak with my local elected representatives on a regular basis as well. Currently, I'm working very closely with my constituents in Bloomington on issues related to transit-oriented development around Bloomington Central Station on the Blue Line LRT, and in the Penn and American area, which is a really exciting redevelopment area in Bloomington for its future station on the Orange Line Bus Rapid Transit, working with the City of Richfield on the 77th Street Underpass, and with Edina on issues related to redevelopment around their transit hub at Southtown and in the Grandview area, and working with the City of Hopkins on their transit-oriented development for their stations along the Southwest LRT line. And my wife and I are both very actively engaged in our communities. We're both active members of the League of Women Voters. They recorded a show of the Richfield League of Women Voters television show just a few weeks ago, which was a really fun experience. And so I'm very committed to, as we move from policy development into implementation, to being an ombudsman for my communities to make sure that they have the resources that they need to prepare, outstanding comprehensive plans. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Elkins. Ms. Dorfman, welcome.
Thank you, Chair Torres-Ray and members of the committee, for the opportunity to come before you this morning. I am a new member. I'm delighted to be a new member of the Met Council, who was recently appointed. I am currently the Executive Director of St. Stephen's Human Services, which is a nonprofit agency located in the city of Minneapolis that whose mission is to end homelessness. And every day we work to get people off the streets and out of shelter and into safe and stable housing throughout Hennepin County. Prior to being at St. Stephen's, I was an elected official for 23 years, both in the city of St. Louis Park and Hennepin County. And when I think of all the projects and policies that I worked on during those 23 years in local office, the Met Council's hand is in so many of them, in guiding and sometimes helping to fund and providing best practice information around how we build healthy communities. So when I look at livable community projects from Heart of the City in Burnsville to my favorite in my community of St. Louis Park, Excelsior and Grand Town Center, to development and the transformation of the Midtown Greenway, to bike projects and transit projects, and affordable housing that's distributed across the region. The guidance of the regional planning agency in making those connections so people have choices about where to live and where to work and how our communities are connected is so much the role of a regional planning agency and a key role for making building healthy communities across the region and making sure that we are economically vibrant as a region. So I am honored to be able to continue this work now in the Met Council. I've developed strong relationships with local government officials over the years, and I look forward to continuing to work with them in my new role. This district represents portions of Southwest Minneapolis, St. Louis Park, New Hope, Crystal, and Golden Valley. Thank you for this opportunity, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Dorfman, and thank you so much for all of your work with homeless people and really all the work that you did as a commissioner and prior to that. In the Senate, when you're a senator, you're always a senator, so I think we're going to call you commissioner. I suppose when you're a commissioner, you're always a commissioner.
Thank you.
Members, do you have any questions for any of the members? Thank you very much for coming. Next in the agenda, we have Edward Reynoso, Mary McCarthy, Sandy Rummel, and Harry Melander. They represent District 9, 10, 11, and 12. So welcome to our committee, Mr. Reynoso.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Y señora senadora, si soy Latino. Me da mucho orgullo ser Latino.
Thank you.
I just said, I know the question came up earlier about what somebody was. I am Latino. I'm very proud to be Latino, and it gives me a perspective of being able to see through my vision on what impacts are to people of color and certainly our communities of color. My name is Edward Reynoso. I am a 34-year member of the Teamsters Union. I'm currently the political director for the Teamsters Union in my day job. In District 9 at the Met Council, I represent a big portion of Anoka County. Andover, Anoka, Bethel, Coon Rapids, East Bethel, Ham Lake, which I reside in, now then Oak Grove, Ramsey, and St. Francis. I think my view on the vision of the mission of the Joint Council is long-term planning that positively impacts our communities, parks, transportation, wastewater treatment, and consumption concerns, along with long-term housing plans. I wouldn't do this if I didn't believe in what I was doing. I do care about the future. I care about what this region is going to look like, not only for my children, my grandchildren, but my grandchildren's grandchildren. I think it is about making sure that we have a vision and a plan and plan ahead to make sure that we leave a better place for them than what we've been handed. I'm consistently reaching out to our elected officials, specifically in my district, with hopes of engaging them on issues that would impact their communities. It's important to get input from individual cities and understand that one cookie cutter mentality doesn't always work. Every community is a little different. Every community has its unique issues. It's important to get the feedback and understand their concerns and whether they support specific issues or ideology. It's also important from their perspective of whether residents understand our system and how they feel about our system. And always take in mind that we don't have a perfect system, and I don't believe anybody ever will. But I believe we're in the right direction. I believe we do a lot in long-term planning for our region, and I'm happy and honored to continue to serve on this very important council, in this capacity as in this council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynoso. Ms. McCarthy, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senators. My name is Marie McCarthy, and I represent District 10, which includes the cities of Arden Hills, Blaine, Circle Pines, Falcon Heights, Lauderdale, Lexington, Mounds View, New Brighton, North Oaks, Roseville, Shoreview, and Spring Lake Park, a total of 12 cities. As you heard earlier from a previous member, the mission of the council is to foster efficient and economic growth for a prosperous region. So when you think about this mission, one must ask, what makes the metro region so attractive? Well, the reasons are many. The metro region provides access to opportunity. It has the lowest unemployment rate in the country. It has a thriving business climate, whereas we have 18 Fortune 500 companies headquartered here. It has a high quality of life, a strong economy, and many other assets such as parks, recreation, open space, and cultural diversity. However, this region is not without challenges. There are demographic shifts, environmental factors, new and changing planning priorities, aging infrastructure, and more. The realities of living in such a prosperous region and its challenges are why I am committed to addressing the region's stability and seeing it thrive. Not only do I work within and for my district, I have to consider the prosperity and planning for the entire region. I am committed to working and being part of that vision that provides essential services and infrastructures that supports communities and ensures a high quality of life for all the region's residents. Thinking ahead and working together helps us bring a high quality of regional services and a competitive edge. That is why it is important to me to work with and represent the communities within my district. As a public servant, it is important that I listen to the views and the concerns of the cities in my region, in my district, and work collaboratively with them. Many times that means relaying those concerns back to the council and finding ways to help facilitate the line of communication that addresses the concern of the city. One recent example that we dealt with is that of our water policy plan. There was some confusion as to the wording of the draft plan. One of my cities, along with a few others, had concerns and wanted the ability to be more engaged and be part of the process. Met Council staff formed what we call a water technical advisory group. Through this group, the staff, city representatives, and other partners were able to come together and address these issues openly and collaboratively. Not one single entity can be successful on its own, but it takes a partnership on many levels to succeed. Council members must engage with the local communities. That is why I'm in communication with my cities, county governments, community members, community groups, and the local Chamber of Commerce. In order to act regionally, one must engage themselves with the people we live with. It is important to me to keep these lines of communication open. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCarthy. Senator Romo, welcome. We're delighted that you're here.
Madam Chair, committee members, thank you for inviting us, and thank you for the work that you do. I think outside, people have no idea how hard you work. So I really, as one happens, sat among you, appreciate how hard you work, and thank you for doing that. My name is Sandy Romo. I represent District 11. I've lived in the district for 40 years, and I've been elected to public office 4 times in that district. My district includes portions of Anoka County, Washington County, and Ramsey County. It extends all the way from Linwood Township at the northern edge of the region down to Landfault, a long, skinny district. As you know, I served on the Environment Committee, the Energy Committee, and the Education Committees here in the Senate, and that's partly what's framed the kind of work I do at the Council. As you've heard many times, the Met Council's mission is the orderly economic development of the region. The Council does its work primarily as a planning organization, although it has operational responsibility for wastewater, transit, and regional parks. The roles that the Council plays are many. They include research, technical assistance, partnering, and convener. For example, many of you know that Burnsville and Savage, a number of years ago, were required by the EPA to find water in a different way because of the effect their water systems were having on some environmental, I think they're called fens. And the role of the council was to convene and work with those two communities who solved their problem and now have an adequate and safe source of water. The principles embodied in Thrive MSP 2040 include collaboration, integration, and accountability. So it's a new tone, or I don't know if it's new, but it's the tone that the council wants to own: collaboration, integration, and accountability. I guess the commitment I have is stems from my work in the Senate. I serve as the chair of the Environment Committee. I've done that for the last 4 years. Water, as you know, is a key ingredient to the prosperity of this region as well as its quality of life. As Health Commissioner Ellinger often points out to me, Met Council's responsibilities for water make it one of the region's most important health providers. I also represent the Council on the Metropolitan Energy Policy Coalition and the Clean Water Council. These collaborations around energy and water are important in creating the region, creating a region that thrives. I connect with my local officials on a variety of levels. First, there's the kind of on-call level. A constituent or a local official can call me up and ask me for information or a favor or some kind of assistance. Just last week, a person in White Bear Township called and wanted to have the council take care of an offending pipe that got left behind after a project. I was able to make that connection. The pipe has been removed. So we get numerous calls like this, little things that people don't think of that wind up on our plates. On another level, I participate with our local officials and staff and their staffs on various projects that they're undertaking. For example, Maplewood a long time ago called me up and asked me to bring staff and help them with their application for local community aid. Currently, the Gateway, Gateway, I guess they're going to call themselves the Gold Line. Those commissioners and all the officials that are interested in having that transit system flourish, I sit on those meetings to help. Fresh Line is in progress. And finally, the most productive way of participating with my local units, local officials, is in discussions on local issues. Last week, more than once, but last week was the most current one. We were up in Hugo, where I think 6 or 7 of our communities are working on a water summit, trying to figure out how to manage and navigate all the work that's coming down in the Northeast Metro on water. So as my colleagues have said, the health of this region depends on the collaboration across geopolitical boundaries to make it a livable region for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Malander.
Excuse me. Chair, committee members, my name is Harry Malander. I am a 30-year resident of the city of Bonamidi and presently represent District 12 at the Met Council. My civic experience has been long. I've been blessed to have the opportunity to sit on a local parks commission. I am the former chair of the Washington County HRA, its planning commission, and currently sit as chair of the Board of Adjustment and Appeals. I have been a 22-year member of the Twin City Housing Neighborhood Development Corporation, which provides 850 units of true affordable housing throughout the region, and presently am the chair of the St. Paul Port Authority. A former community college instructor, and as my father said, a marginal carpenter by trade. This is my second time in front of the body, but my interest and involvement with the council extends more than 25 years. The council, with assistance from our counties, cities, and townships, provide the plan or rendering for our region's future. Together, we will provide a vision for what our communities may look like into the future. Without regional planning and services, our community would be a patchwork of disjointed delivery systems. We all have grown and to expect a well-planned out system that the council does provide. planning, transit, parks, housing, wastewater treatment. A system that is recognized nationally for the quality of life that we expect within our region. But as you well know, all of the great work done at the council, we still can improve. Working, as I said earlier, with our county, cities, and township, we need to do a better job of listening. Our seven-county area is a large region with many different interests and priorities, from our urban cities that continue to grow but have great divides within our growing equity division, our transit and housing needs, to a more rural counties that deal with similar issues but are spread over a much wide geographic area. The Met Council is a service provider for many of the earlier mentioned opportunities and challenges, and provides a regional forum where issues such as water sustainability, energy awareness, and the changing faces within our community can be discussed at a facilitation role. These are just a few of the reasons why I'm asking that you consider our confirmation today. Bringing a practical yet supportive role as council members is how I would describe our group. Hopefully you have had a chance to look at mine and other council's members' applications and their attachments. Thanks again for this opportunity to be in front of you today.
Thank you, Mr. Melander. Members, do you have any questions? Thank you very much for coming. We appreciate that you were here. Next in the agenda, we have Richard Kramer, Jonathan Commerce, Stephen Chavez, and Wendy Wolf. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Kramer.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Again, I'm Rich Kramer. I am the Metropolitan Council member representing District 13. That includes portions of St. Paul, all of the east side, 25 neighborhoods on the east side of St. Paul, all of downtown St. Paul, and the west side of St. Paul. Then I also have Mendota, Mendota Heights, Sunfish Lake, Lilydale, West St. Paul, South St. Paul, St. Paul Park, Newport, and for some reason, one half of Great Cloud Island Township. I think my district is the only one which includes portions of a city of the first class, suburbs, and township. And it also extends into three counties. Prior to my service on the Metropolitan Council, I served on a number of City of St. Paul boards and commissions, most notably the St. Paul Planning Commission, for 18 years, and I am currently the chair of the St. Paul Charter Commission. I serve on the Council's Community Development Committee and the Management Committee, and I am one of the Council's representatives to the Robert Street Transportation Task Force. Again, prior to my service on the Met Council, the things that I worked on as a planning commissioner and in St. Paul and on other boards and committees in St. Paul included parks, water, urban planning, housing, transportation, and I've continued that interest in those efforts as a member of the Metropolitan Council. Being the 13th person in the 16-person parade, I probably don't have a lot more to tell you except to say that I support the direction that we are currently engaged in at the Met Council. If I had to put it in one sentence, I would say I believe assisting our municipalities not only to develop themselves through their comprehensive plans, but also to support them by helping them implement key components of those plans. And I'm available for questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kramer. Mr. Commerce.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is John Commers, and I represent District 14 on Metropolitan Council, which is most of the city of St. Paul. I live in St. Paul with my family, my three school-age children, and I have an office about a mile away from my home where I run a private sector operation. I've been in the private sector for about 15 years in my professional life. Just a couple of comments. Thank you for your consideration. The first is that I really believe in the work of the Metropolitan Council, and I think that it's deeply relevant today to our current opportunities and our current conditions. I was born in St. Paul, and I was raised to take seriously that working effectively together and investing in public goods like education are what have distinguished Minnesota since the mid-20th century. I believe very much in the vision that past legislatures and governors dating back to the 1960s have pursued for a set of strategies that serve the people of the Twin Cities Metro across boundaries of cities and counties. Our markets for housing, for jobs, for capital are all regional in nature, and so are the systems that the Met Council plans for and in a number of cases operates. As the mayors who have gathered together for the last 10 years, as the Regional Council of Mayors will tell you, working regionally delivers significant benefits in the current day as they have in years past. In terms of the direction of the council, I think that our mission is to foster efficient and economic growth for a prosperous metropolitan region. I think the law also says the same message in more detail in terms of saying that since problems of urbanization and development transcend local governmental boundaries, there's a need for the adoption of coordinated plans, et cetera, by all local government units in order to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the residents of the metropolitan area. I think that remains a deeply relevant mission and direction that state law gives the council. Finally, in terms of engagement at the local level, I've been really fortunate to be involved in civic work in St. Paul for a number of years. Been involved in at the district council level, involved with the Midway Chamber at the local level, also in a number of city committees, including with Mr. Kramer on the Planning Commission in St. Paul, where I was lucky enough to be elected chair of that body. I have strong relationships with our mayor, our city council members, our port authority, and city staff. I also have strong relationships with Ramsey County commissioners and our staff. And I maintain direct relationships with board members and staff of our district councils, who in a number of cases are working with constituencies themselves of 20,000 to 30,000 people. I also, as a member of the council, I serve as chair of the Land Use Advisory Committee, which is a body comprised primarily of elected mayors and city council members from across the region. That's an important advisory body for the work of the council. Finally, our outreach for the Thrive long-range plan that we adopted last May, I think, was unprecedented in its scale and its depth, and I'm very proud of that process. And I think the plan's value is much greater as a result of that engagement. So thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Mr. Chavez, welcome.
Buenos dias.
Buenos
Guten
dias.
Morgen. Bonjour. And good morning. My name is Steve Chavez. Madam Chair, thank you for pronouncing our family name correctly. I appreciate that. I represent District 15, which is Eagan, Burnsville, Rosemount, Invergrove Heights. I'm a lifelong resident of Northern Dakota County. I was born in the hospital behind the building here at Bethesda, where I parked this morning. My parents are alive, live in West St. Paul down the street on Robert Street. So I've been very engaged through the whole journey along the way. A little bit more about myself, or what does I do with the day job. I'm a corporate attorney, self-employed, run my global empire from my second floor office in my residence in Eagan, and serve very large household name corporations in the Twin Cities. It's a multinational practice. So I was just doing some work back there on the little iPhone before I got up here with the age of technology. Before I became a council member 4 years ago, I served then as simultaneously the co-chair or the chairs of both the City of Eagan Planning Commission and Dakota County's Planning Commission. My resume will also, if you have a chance to see it, there's a long list of community organizations, philanthropic, civic, government, that I've served over my entire career. as far as Met Council, I actually, my colleagues are probably rolling their eyes by now when they're going to hear me say this, but I actually served as an intern with the Met Council many years ago and completed my college degree from St. John's University in political science, finishing out that term. And then in the course of my career, I've served more than 15 years in various commissions, panels, you name it, as a volunteer appointee to Met Council activities, so I know this place inside and out. You've heard the expression, a prophet is never welcome in his home. We have a gem with the Met Council. One concrete example of that is during our work on a couple of the plans that I was involved in. One is called the Choice, Place, and Opportunity, which is a plan that we were working on with HUD for a fair housing and equity assessment. Staff received a call from New York City staff for assistance with their plan in order to satisfy HUD's requirements. But just consider the magnitude of those two different cities and the value that your organizations serving you provide to other organizations in the country. As far as my roles at Met Council, I serve as a chair of the management committee. I have served as the co-chair of the Housing Policy Plan Working Group, the Equity Working Group, and I've also represented the council for the past 4 years, my first term, as the liaison with the Metropolitan Airports Commission, so basically an ex officio member of MAC. Also one of the members of the Thrive Working Group, along with three of the other council members that are here this morning. And then on the transportation side, which leads into engagement, you may have heard about something called the Red Line, which resides and transports people along Cedar Avenue or 77 between Apple Valley and the Mall of America. Also the Orange Line that's now coming on to planning between Minneapolis and Burnsville. And then also working with, as the alternate, with Councilmember Kramer for the Robert Street corridor in West St. Paul, between West St. Paul and St. Paul. So very active as far as engaging with county commissioners from Dakota County and all of the four cities that I serve. My package actually includes letters of recommendation from the mayors from the cities, I think, which says quite a bit. Just for example, as far as frequency of engagement, since August, I've been engaged at least three times in formal meetings with the county commissioners on various topics. Also intersect with them in our participation in the Minnesota Valley Transit Authority Board, as coming up as next Wednesday again. And 2 weeks ago, Chair Dunnick and I attended a mostly all-morning session with constituents in Eagan for basically Northern Dakota County with Senator Carlson and Representative Mason on various issues. As far as the actual constituents, I receive weekly calls from constituents on primarily the two things hot right now are metro mobility and the issues wrapped around whether it's going to even be trails or paving trails in Lebanon Hills. So it's a quite colorful conversation. With that, I'll close my remarks.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chavez. Ms. Wolf, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. It's wonderful to be here this morning speaking to you. My name is Wendy Wolf, and I represent District 16 on the Metropolitan Council. I have the second largest district geographically on the council. I have about two-thirds of Dakota County. If you take Apple Valley and Lakeville and then go all the way across to Hastings and everything south of there, there's townships, there's farms. That part is very diverse geographically, and then I also have a corner of Scott County with the four townships in southeastern Scott County plus Elko Newmarket. I was born in Minneapolis. My parents lived on Franklin Avenue, and I was born just across the street from their apartment. I grew up in Golden Valley and Crystal, and then I attended the University of Minnesota, where I was a resident of Minneapolis for 4 years, and I was transit dependent before it was cool because I was poor. I then moved to Germany for 3 years, Albert Lea for a year and a half, and now I've been back in the region living in Lakeville for 23 years. I live here because it is a wonderful, unique place to be. My family, I have three boys, two are married. The youngest is graduating from high school. My husband is retired, disabled. And after I joined the council, I gave up my day job, which was a web designer, to be his caregiver because he has a brain injury. I was on the Lakeville Planning Commission for 7 years and the City Council for 6.5 years before being asked to join the Met Council. I am the senior member of the council in the institutional memory because I was appointed by Governor Pawlenty and I've now been reappointed by Governor Dayton 3 times. I did not seek a whole bunch of letters of recommendation. There should be 2 in your packet, but having gone through this so many times before, I know that the elected officials that I work with are very busy, so I didn't want to unnecessarily burden their time if it wasn't absolutely required. I have a great relationship with the elected officials in my district. They're very organized, which makes my job easy. The mayors and city managers in Dakota County get together monthly for breakfast, so I have the opportunity to see all of them and hear their issues. And because I was an elected official before that and was actually a part of that group, I have a long-standing relationship there. The township officers get together twice a year in Dakota County, so I'm able to meet with all of them. And Scott County also gets together monthly with all of the cities, the townships, the county board, watershed districts, school officials, and so I'm able to meet with all of them and hear all of their issues as well. I also meet with the Dakota County Board periodically with my other colleagues that represent Dakota County. So I have a great relationship both from my past experience being a League of Minnesota Cities board member and active in metro cities on the policy committees, and continuing today and understanding the issues that are unique to our region. I'm not going to restate the Met Council mission because it's been said quite a few times before this morning, but I think that it is very key to the success of our region. And when we do our core job well, the region benefits. We have an amazing sewer system here. People only hear about when there's a leak or something bad that happens, but what we do here is really helpful to the strength of the region economically. Most places don't have one large sewer system like we have, where we have the economies of scale so that we can get the wastewater really, really clean and do a lot of unique things to maximize the success of how we do things. We get energy recapture from the wastewater processes, both through burning the gases that are formed and using heat from other processes. We make fertilizer that we can fertilize crops with it. It's kind of a really innovative process that wouldn't be possible in a place like Pittsburgh that has 187 different sewer systems, or Houston, where every neighborhood makes their own sewer system. What we do, we kind of take for granted, but other places that are having billions of gallons of overflow and maintenance problems would be envious of what we have here, but since we've had it for so long, we just sort of take it for granted. Same thing with our transit system. We have multiple entities working on that, but it's a seamless system. You can go online and figure out a travel plan using all of our different providers and just paying one fare. That's unique to our region, but we take it for granted because it's always been that way. I want to continue that sort of work. One of the first things I did when I joined the council was reduce the sewer availability fees for outdoor seating for restaurants because we weren't having outdoor patios because it was too expensive, because it was the same price as indoor seats. And we found that when we did that, it didn't increase our costs at all because the additional seats weren't creating additional burdens on our sewer system. But it did increase what came in terms of economic development in the region, because bars and restaurants that hadn't been able to have outdoor seating now could, and that's why you've seen the explosion of outdoor seating in our metro area. I would love to continue that work, and I enjoy working with all of my colleagues. We make a good team, and I thank you for the opportunity to be here today.
Thank you very much, Ms. Wolf. Members, do you have any questions? Thank you so much for your presence here and for the work that you do. I am quite impressed to hear your commitment and the commitment of all of the people that were before us. I couldn't agree more with you around the really what we take for granted. I think Ms. Wolf put it together very well at the end. I serve in education, and in my first term I serve in health and human services, and now I am chairing this committee, and I am thinking about the incredible opportunities that we miss many times to coordinate those efforts, and many times we see overlap of work, investment, energy efforts that go on, and you know, one agency is not really doesn't have a clue of what the other one is doing. And so I agree with you that we really need to do more to coordinate our work, and I think that's the value that you bring to the state of Minnesota. And we look forward to hear more about the advances that you make in those areas. And please count on us for support to move forward those agendas and to secure the investments that are needed to do your work. Thank you very much. Next in the agenda, we have Mr. Adam Dunick.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do we vote on the council members now, or do we wait until Mr. Dunick's complete? We vote separately, correct?
Not necessarily. We can vote for everyone. I was going to take the vote at the end and just kind of go through, give the time to members to do some questions. But if members have a preference, I was just going to do a vote at the end for the entire group.
And Madam Chair, and then we vote for the chair as
included
separate.
Included,
but don't we do a separate one for the chair?
We could. Okay. We could. Mr. Dunick, welcome to our committee. We're delighted that you're here. We know this is a busy day for you, but thank you for making the time to come. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here and great to hear from all the council members before me. It's an impressive group. Just to start off with a few introductory remarks about myself and look forward to answering some questions as well. My name is Adam Dunick, and like Councilmember Chavez, he talked about his internship background. I actually have an internship background myself, which started a little over 10 years ago here at the State Senate. I had the opportunity to intern with Senator Scott Dibble as a college student, and so it's always a pleasure and a unique experience to be back in front of this body having worked here. My name is Adam Dunick, and I live in Minneapolis in the Standish neighborhood near the Blue Line off of Hiawatha Avenue with my wife and two kids. I grew up in western Minnesota, a fourth-generation construction worker and laborer. I literally have transportation in my DNA. It is that background that has driven me to get involved in public policy and civic engagement. My passion led me to a career in the construction industry where I worked as an operating engineer and moved into leadership at the Operating Engineers Local 49. I led their legislative affairs department for a number of years, which is why I applied to be on the council in 2011. My time as a council member furthered my experience in all the challenges and opportunities that face our region. I chaired the Transportation Committee and led an effort to update our transportation policy plan. I was also the liaison to the Transportation Advisory Board. Lastly, and also an important note, I'm an avid transit user, cyclist, and just general transportation junkie. I've been involved in a number of corridors such as Southwest LRT, which we'll certainly probably talk about today, Gateway, the Orange Line, and a number of other corridors around the region. That certainly means transportation is an important issue to me, but there's so much more that the council does in relation to parks and recreation, wastewater, housing, and other systems that necessarily do not begin or end at city and county boundaries. But I do believe it's an important role and background experience to have in transportation to lead the Met Council at this time. And I've evolved from someone who is passionate about transportation to someone who understands the importance of taking a regional approach to public policy issues. Just want to talk a little bit about how I approach the role and why I'm passionate about this job, regionalism in general, transportation and public service. One thing I want to continue to do, and we heard a little bit about this from the council members, is continue the work and excellence that the council currently provides. Much of what we do is world-class, from our regional park system to our wastewater rates and the transit service we currently provide. Our on-time rate is incredible. It ranks us close to the top nationally. We get rave reviews from customers, and we're just working to obviously build out that system and expand and enhance that service. But it's important to know that where we can improve, we're taking a look at that, and I think that's one unique thing I bring to the position. Having served on the council the last 4 years, I bring a good blend of a familiarity with the organization, the people involved, the policy that we work on, and the day-to-day challenges that face our region. I believe, further, just to talk a little bit more on transportation and the work to expand our transportation and transit options in this region, matching different solutions to the distinct needs of the region. I've been a strong proponent of the importance of the bus system specifically, the amenities, the technology, and its importance as a key investment in our infrastructure as we plan for the future. I also want to just take a moment to describe myself and my approach. First and foremost, I'm a listener and a collaborator. I'm also a builder and a problem solver. In a region that is complex, it will take someone who has those skills and is a relationship builder and someone who's familiar with the debate as it exists today. My experience on the council gives me a better understanding of these issues and an ability to make the council better and improve the work that we're doing today. I also want to acknowledge the conversations that are ever-present around the Met Council's governance and structure. They're occurring here, occurring across the street in the House as well. And I want to acknowledge that we can do better, and we're open to doing a better job as a council. I understand the concerns about elected officials and thinking about how to work closely with them. I've been engaged significantly in that work in the last 3 months. And one of the first things I did on the council was appoint Jim Hovland, Mayor of Edina, as the chair of the Transportation Advisory Board. That position had never been held by an elected official before, but in thinking about it in ways in which we can enmesh the elected officials more closely in our work, it's something that is a big priority of mine. I also want to talk a little bit about the way in which we're trying to engage the council members further and even staff the organization in a way where we have more significant proactive outreach. We've taken steps to do that already, and we'll continue to do that throughout the summer months. My initial 3 months have been a whirlwind of activity and outreach. I've met with dozens of elected officials across the region. I've joined legislators and local officials at town hall meetings. This week alone, I'll be in front of the Carver County Board, a group of Anoka County local elected officials up in Anoka County, a mix of city and county officials, and a meeting with the Dakota County Chamber Thursday morning. It typifies a week of mine to get around the region to try to cover all seven counties in a proactive way so that I'm not just responding to things, although that's certainly an important part of this job as well. And I also wanted to say that the reception so far has been great. Communities have rolled out the red carpet to share with me and with us, the council, the successes of what it is they're doing and how they can better incorporate that work into the regional planning agency. So in closing, I just want to say that the work that our agency does is so vital for the future of this region, which is why I'm so passionate about it, and I believe my skills, ability, and experience make me a strong choice to lead the Metropolitan Council. And I ask for your vote of confidence and support today.
Thank you, Mr. Donick. We appreciate all of your work, and I personally know how you have been traveling around. Thank you for attending one of my town forums, which was incredibly well attended, and you were, for the entire meeting there, responding to many, many questions. So thank you for your work. Members, do you have any questions? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wonder if you'd permit me to give a series of questions since we haven't had many today. I do have quite a few, and some of my members were not able to be here, so I have some questions that they have asked, if you would mind. Mr. Dunnick, just going through my questions, can you tell me, have you ever held a position where you've managed over 100 employees in the past?
Senator Hall, if you could put some of your questions together so he can answer, and then I'll go around. Or you choose one.
I'm sorry. What are you asking?
You said you have several questions.
Yeah. Well, if I can go back and forth a little bit with him, that'd be the easiest way for me to do it.
Mr. Dunnick.
Madam Chair and Senator, the short answer to that question is no. The more complicated answer would probably be that the organizations that I have worked for have been on a leadership team that is in charge of employees of that number. And certainly I think that my role at the council is mix of managing the executive team, which reports directly to me, which is a number of 10 or 12 folks. But they have significant staff management responsibilities that they are charged with. I'm the leader of the policy board that sets the policy and direction for the council. It's the 16 council members and myself. So part of my management role there is with the council members themselves, and regionally and externally, I think, as much as it is internally managing the staff.
So, Madam Chair, Mr. Dunnick,
Senator,
so you've had little experience in executive in running a Met Council, which is going to have 4,200 members and an annual budget of $890 million. And it also has the power to tax and decide where growth should be in the metropolitan area. Have you ever served in the legislature? Or may I ask, legislature, or been elected to any city council or any county board?
Madam Chair and Senator, no, I have not.
Mr. Dunnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator. No, I have not. I think when I've done the research on some of the history of the Met Council, one of the main points of why the council was appointed, there was a lot of discussion about it at the time, was that it would actually attract people that maybe wouldn't run for office but would want to be serve in an appointed role and do public service that way. And I think that you saw a mix of people, council members, some of which have been elected, some of which have not, some of which maybe would never run for office, some of which, after having served on the Met Council, would never want to run for office, some of which serve on the Met Council and think, that'd be great, I'd love to do more of that. But I think the balance of experience is the important part.
Thank you, Mr. Dunnick.
Madam Chair.
Senator Hall, I'm going to give you a last chance. I know that you guys are going to want to ask questions, so if you could ask your last question, and then I'm going to go to Senator Eaton.
15 more questions.
Senator Hall, the members have questions.
All right, I'll wait till the end then, I guess.
Oh, sorry. On this, a follow-up. Senator Eaton.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out that I know how hard our interns here work, and since Mr. Dunnick has been an intern here, especially for Senator Dibble, I know that you're not afraid of hard work along with the 5 years on road and bridge construction. And you know, it's nice to have somebody in there who's not afraid to get their hands dirty and to work hard.
Thank you, Senator Eaton. Senator Hall.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Hall, Senator Hayden, do you have a follow-up?
Just to this point, I appreciate Senator Hall's questions, and he obviously has the right to ask them. I do know that I have read through all of the packets that were presented to me, which really has extensive resumes in terms of all of the potential Met Council candidates. His resume, so I just want to make sure, in the interest of times, I know that we our time is always precious. I just would hope that we have all reviewed that, and that the questions that we ask are questions that are already that have been on the record. So that would just be something I would think about as the members start to ask the questions of Chair Dunning.
Thank you, Senator Hayden. I do appreciate that. I think that we obviously have this information in front of us, and it's important that we review that. So if you have any questions that are not included, please feel free to ask. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Mr. Dunnick, besides your experience on the Met Council, your knowledge and experience is pretty limited to your time as a legislative director and a political advisor. So have you served on any boards relating to housing, transportation, or economic development? Anyway,
Senator Hall, I think we have his resume in front of us, but Senator Mr. Dunnick.
Madam Chair and Senator, I have not served any boards related to housing or economic development. Nope, it's mostly been transportation, but that work has been over a decade in time.
Senator Hall.
Madam Chair and Mr. Dunnick, you talked about your collaborative skills. Can you give us some examples of those collaborative skills and how you've reached out to maybe those local government units?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Dunnick.
Madam Chair and Senator, yeah, I'd be glad to. It would be hard for me to think of just one example. I could talk about a number of them. In the course of my time on the council, one has been, I think the biggest policy, one of the biggest policy questions we faced was around the Transportation Advisory Board and reevaluating the regional solicitation, which is a way in which we allocate federal funds. That board is made up of 17 elected officials and 16 appointed officials, and have built relationships with people all over the region, from Chanhassen to Woodbury to Anoka County. And we've made some significant improvements and progress in doing that. We just released the preliminary findings of those solicitation projects last month. They're out for public discussion now. It will probably be a month or two before they're debated and passed. But that'd be one example. Another is my work on the Southwest Light Rail project, which before today's announcement, I was very proud of. Now, after today's announcement, we have to kind of, I think, take a pause and think about the future of Southwest. But the work on securing municipal consent and doing the negotiations both with the City of Minneapolis and the Park Board show my ability to work well with people that come from a diverse background and share different approaches to regional issues, local, the tension between a local and a regional question like a city or a park board had at that time. I think that experience is really valuable and positions me really well to lead the organization. Now, am I somebody who has 30 years of a 30-year career? When I applied for the job, some folks said to me, well, the Met Council, that's a position people go to when they're at the end of their career. And I said, I want to think of it differently. I want to think of it as a role that somebody who is young and energetic and ambitious and hardworking can go make a big difference for our region.
Thank you, Mr. Dunick. I have a follow-up on that question. In your presentation, you talk a little bit about the value of working with the local elected officials. And I am very intrigued by that. I think that, as you probably know, there were some proposals that came to our attention, both in the House and the Senate, about how can we put together a governance model that gives more kind of a stronger participation to the local governments that are represented. And some of the brainstorming sessions suggested that you perhaps build a model to work with some of the elected officials, and it not necessarily has to be, you know, part of the board, but like you're doing with the mayor of Edina, the, you know, kind of appointing for specific projects. Could you tell us a little bit more about, you know, your vision for bringing kind of those perspectives together, and how I know it's time consuming, but, you know, I think there is a tremendous need for that, and I think that there will be tremendous value in that as well.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. A quick example that comes to mind is as we put together and publish our regional policy guidelines, both our regional framework, which was known as Thrive 2040 MSP, and then the systems plans underneath them, there just should be a better structure and organization and process in place where we do more aggressive stakeholder outreach and engagement and have the participation happen at the front end rather than how it can typically play out where the council puts together a policy plan, releases it for public comment, and then there's a back-and-forth dialogue then. I think the transportation policy plan, we did this. We put together a work group that met for a little over a year. It was close to 18 months working with MnDOT, with CTIB, with the County's Transit Improvement Board, some specific counties, members of the TAB. But we could have done that in looking back at it and trying to evaluate how to improve that process. Even we could have done even more of that and had that group either been larger or had subgroups that were working with specific parts of the region to incorporate that feedback as we're writing policy plans. The last thing we want to do at the Met Council is to put together policy plans, put them out as our vision for the region, and then have half the region say, well, we disagree with that. That's not the direction our region's going. That doesn't do the council any good. That doesn't do the local governments any good. So to try to look at that structure and do it, again, more from our end, more proactively from the council members, from myself, and setting that example is something that's really important to me.
Thank you. Senator Scalzi and Senator Housley.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And, you know, this is a tough the Met Council, as soon as you come to the Capitol, there's a number of people who just don't like the Met Council. So going in, you have to understand that, and we deal with that on many occasions. I had a bill a couple years ago about the Water Supply Advisory Committee, which I think is a really important committee. And, boy, there was a number of people who, even though this was an important process to extend that
deadline for 5 years. They voted no on it anyway, simply because it was Met Council. So I think that we come into this looking at it a little bit more askance, and there's, that's probably appropriate. But I like what you're saying about that we need to improve the process more proactively. I spent a number of years on a city council, and I think the job of the Met Council chair is more or less making sure that we get all of the important information that we can gain from our members, as you said. There's a number of people that are and they've all visited with us today. It's really an exciting place to be, because there's a lot of information that local officials have come forward with, and I think that I've visited with Mayor Hovland of Edina, and I'm wondering if maybe you can just expound a little bit about what you hope to gather from the local officials to make this work, this process work a little bit more smoothly and more proactively.
Mr. Donick.
Sure, Madam Chair and Senator Scully. The first thing I think that's important is for there to be a better understanding of what it is we're doing and what it is we are involved in and have some authority over and what it is we do not. And oftentimes, some of the conversations we've had that I've had over the last 3 months has explained to people, well, actually, we don't have that regulatory authority. We aren't encroaching upon that kind of work. So that's an important first step. And I think the other one is to, again, think about distinct needs and differences and to have our policy plans reflect that. One example that comes to mind for that is in our transportation policy plan, we have different density requirements, as they're known, for the transitway planning, which means that if you live in a certain community further out, you don't have to have as much density as if you live in an urban area. You know, trying to customize the policy to fit the region. We have to do that in a way that is both fair to everybody, because everybody has a different definition of fairness, but is also transparent and people feel like their feedback is heard and there's an actual dialogue there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Hudson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Donick, we were very surprised this morning, since you brought up the Southwest Light Rail, I thought I would too, that they need an extra $341 million to complete the project due to soil contamination that was just recently found out. The original amount for the Southwest Light Rail was $1.2 billion, and then a year ago increased to $1.6 billion. And now it's almost $2 billion, another $341 million. My question is, even Governor Dayton was shocked this morning. He's shocked and appalled at the extra $341 million. Why wasn't any of this found out and in the final environmental study?
Mr. Donick, I want to make sure we totally want to know a little bit of this. I know that you plan to have Senator Dibble is going to call a meeting on this, of course, and there will be ample opportunity for us to engage in that conversation, which is incredibly important to all of us. So if you could give us at least, you know, kind of a broader perspective as to how those assessments came up, and just in general, we'll learn more in detail about, you know, what we plan to do for the future, and I presume both the Senate, the House, and the Governor will have to engage in this conversation about the cost. But this is not the jurisdiction of this committee, but please do, I think it's important it came out this morning, so if we could give us a brief overview of that.
Sure, Madam Chair and Senator Housley, thanks for the question. I'll try to stay at a high level only because the actual details I would have to ask staff about the specifics. First of all, the final environmental impact is not known. That's still to be studied, and the supplemental draft EIS is still being worked on, too, with the FTA. But our office, our project office, does a periodic update of the budget and scope, and what they're doing is taking the environmental work that's been completed, the engineering work that's been completed, and assigning cost and a budget to those numbers. And so that's what's happened. I was just made aware of this last week. I was also shocked, and we just made the internal decision that we needed to make sure the information was made public and known and understood before we proceeded, because now I think it's just going to force us as the council and certainly others that are involved in this project, County's Transit Improvement Board, CTIB, HCRA, the Hennepin County Regional Rail Authority, and the legislature, who have a large say in this project, to ask a lot of questions about it. And that's where we're at.
Thank you. Senator Housley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Governor Dayton also said that he has complete confidence in Met Council, but not in its staff. He's unsure whether they can manage a project of this magnitude. I am just wondering who, in the end, is the is the last word on the budget.
Mr. Donick.
Madam Chair and Senator, it's the Met Council. It's our policy board.
Madam Chair, follow up.
Thank you. I'm just wondering also, do you think projects of this magnitude should have legislative approval?
Madam Chair and Senator.
Mr. Donick.
That's a good question. They don't currently, so to change that would take an act of the legislature. I could see advantages and disadvantages to that, and just to be thoughtful for a moment, our regional transit system currently, the way it exists, there are a lot of people who have either veto authority or an ability to move a project forward, and so adding another element of that, if it's the legislature, I would just say we should be thoughtful about that. That's not to say yes or no. I don't feel like I have a good answer to that question today.
Mr. Dunning, you will have some time to think about it. Pretty sure you will be asking transportation about these questions. And, the whole issue of kind of the cost, of course, I think Senator Housley is correct, the magnitude of these projects, the costs. You know, we have to make those decisions about supporting that. And ultimately, you know, we may have to work together on figuring out how that happens. As you know, transportation is a big portion of what we would like to do this session, and I hope that we're able to move forward some of the proposals that are before us in order to fund these projects. I think Senator Hayden had a question. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Dunick, I've only got a couple more here. In your cover letter, you stated that you have the political expertise necessary to accomplish this job. Is it your intention to continue the partisan work that has defined most of your career?
Madam Chair and Senator.
Mr. Dunick.
Thank you for the question. I would just urge members to take a look at the entire breadth of my career, which is long and expansive, and it's been bipartisan, and I'm pretty proud of it. So I'm also proud of the experience that I've gained from all the work that I've done in every job I've done. I think it suits me very well for this position.
Thank you, Mr. Dunick. And one of the questions, Mr. Dunick, that I wanted to ask related to that is there is an issue, I think, with trying to present to us, and it connects to Senator Housley's, I think, question with respect to some of the projects and how I think we need a little bit more information as to how the coordination of projects actually in the long term saves significant amount of resources for us. And I think that we are recognized nationally for the work that we do in terms of coordinating the regions. And I think, again, some of the members alluded to projects, you know, sewer systems, energy systems, recycling systems that we try to coordinate, and how in the long term they really save money to the localities, to the cities. Is it how can you, Mr. Dunick, help us really understand and put more information, make more information available to us so that we can talk to our constituents about the value of having that coordination and, you know, the amount of resources that we save, really, by doing all of that work collaboratively? Could you tell us a little bit more about kind of the vision that you have for the future of trying to kind of expand your capacity on reporting and connecting with us on those efforts?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. As part of our Thrive implementing process that we're going through right now, we're actually determining some regional indicators, and we work not just at the council but with other people in the region like Greater MSP and others on these types of how we do quantify some of those questions and make it known how valuable it is in this region that we have a first-class wastewater system with low rates, and how important those infrastructure investments have been over the last number of decades, and how they pay off for the taxpayers here. I think that's an important point part of my role as a chair, to use what bully pulpit I do have to make that message known and to get the council members out and engaged more in the public sphere as well.
Thank you. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Dunick, I'm going to give you a little story. Senator Hand had an experience that concerns him, and I've heard him say it over and over. A couple years ago, he was contacted by his city government and was asked to give their inspector access to his home. When he asked why the inspector needed to look at his home, he was told it was determined that his house was geographically located in such a way that he might have a sub pump in his basement, and they needed to make sure that he was not violating any law directing the water from the sub pump to the sewer system. They told him that the Met Council was concerned by the excess load to the water treatment facility, and they wanted to make sure that no one was directing sump pump water through the water treatment system. Senator Hahn told them that he did not have a sump pump. His house was on the side of a hill and fairly steep, so he probably would never need one, although there was a hole in the basement where he could put one in if he needed one. He was told that he was not going to give them access. He told them he was not going to give them access to the home, and the city informed him that if he did not submit to their request to inspect his basement, they would attach a $10,000 fee to his water utility bill. When he asked by what authority they were operating, he told them they were operating under the authority of the Met Council. This authority to search and seizure, which is unreasonable, sheriffs can't even do. But somehow, do you believe that the Met Council should be operating like this? And do you believe they have the authority that even sheriffs don't have?
Senator Hall, could you tell us again what city was this?
It doesn't say what city.
Eden Prairie.
His city.
Oh, Eden Prairie. Okay.
Madam Chair and Senator, no, I don't believe that. That would be news to me, and I'm interested to know if I can be helpful in fixing a situation like that in the future. It's a no.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that would be an issue that we definitely, as elected officials, we get called, Senator Rommel said, sometimes she gets called to remove debris and things like that, and all of us are involved in this decisions many times that involve our cities, involve our council members. And members, do you have any other questions? Senator Housley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representing all of our Senate members who gave us their little stories. So I have one little one here, too, with a question for Mr. Dunick. Senator Osmick had a situation in his district that involved very poor communication from his own Met Council member. Long Lake needed to deal with a waste and sewer charge on Billy's Lighthouse to rebuild a new facility. These charges were paid to the Met Council decades ago. The city called upon their Met Council representative and received no answer, response, or help. The city ended up having to plead their case to another Met Council representative. I'm just wondering, is this acceptable, and will this take place under your leadership? And what's a city supposed to do if they get no answer?
Madam Chair and Senator.
Mr. Dunick, I'm going to ask you to, I cannot have a hearing to get all of the Senate, members' concerns on the local issues. So you may respond to that, and we'll make sure that, members have your information, and we had all of the representatives for the different districts within the council. I think it's their responsibility to make sure that they connect with the senators. Senator Osmick actually presented his bill in here and alluded to that question, I remember. So you probably are paying attention. I hope, obviously, that all of the members who were here are paying attention to these questions. This is so important to us. Our constituents obviously want us to respond. And so we'll make sure that this information is provided. And I hope, Mr. Dunning, that you also connect with us to make sure that those questions are answered. Mr. Dunick, go ahead.
Madam Chair, I will, and absolutely, I totally agree. I mean, it's the responsibility of the council member, and if there is no answer there, then someone should call me or reach out to me. I'd be glad to be helpful.
Any other questions? Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Ms. Chair, and I'm just kind of wondering that question, because I've heard that story, and I think that's troublesome, and I've always been very lucky to have a Met Council representative that responded very well to me, and maybe because I'm a senator, that helps. But I'm wondering if, in the process of interviewing the other people here if that may have come up as a question to that particular representative, and I don't know who it was that represents Senator Osmick's area, but I've heard that story, and it does seem a little egregious, and I don't know if it's in the purview of the director of the Met Council, the chair, to tell a member from an area that they're acting inappropriately. Maybe it is, but I certainly think the people of that district should take care of that problem. In my opinion, that's what we would do.
Thank you, Senator Scalzi. You know, we definitely had a very, I thought what it was, a very good presentation from each member. I hope we're able to, they clearly were very open to connecting with us and making sure that we knew how important this appointment and this process is for them. So I hope that there was ample recognition that there is an open door. So I definitely feel that there was no question related to that to the specific council member, but I hope that the door is open to us. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Dunick, many cities and counties have expressed great concerns about Thrive 2040. Do you know, is it the intention of the Met Council to pursue Thrive 2040 despite the criticism and concerns by their local communities?
Senator Hall, could you tell us a little bit about, I don't serve in transportation, I don't know what the Thrive 2040 is.
He understands.
Yeah, but I don't.
Thrive 2040.
I don't either.
Yeah. Could you explain?
Could you be more specific about it?
I don't have the explanation on exactly what it is, but I do know that there's a lot of criticism about it right now. And I think there's a lot of criticism in general with the Met Council, and I think that's the concern. Is the Met Council going to go down the same direction it's been going? Is the leadership of the Met Council going to be partisan, or is it going to look at the whole region, the needs of not only the region but the state? And there's concerns with local communities, and I think that's what we're trying to get to, Madam Chair.
No, clearly, Senator Hall, I think we're fully aware of your concerns and the concerns of your caucus, and we've had multiple presentations as well as conversations and proposals before us to really ensure that this conversation is bipartisan, that this conversation includes the concerns of all of us. And so I would like to echo that, of course, because all of us are interested in making sure that each and every district that you will be working with is represented, that has a voice, and that, I didn't know that each district representative represents the voice of 178,000 people. So it's a huge responsibility, many more people that we represent. So we know that you have a tremendous responsibility, a tremendous a lot of work that you need to do in order to ensure that all of those voices are represented. We will have more opportunities, members in different committees, obviously housing, energy, all the different areas that you actually govern and that you work with to answer those questions. In this particular setting, we want to make sure that members have an opportunity to connect with you, ask you about your commitment to work with our different regions. So I would like to focus on those particular questions, members.
Madam Chair,
we have 5 minutes. Yes,
to this point, Peterson. Just I actually don't have a question for Mr. Dunick at all, but this is about the fifth time that either Senator Hall or another member has asked a question and has just not been able to have just an open dialogue with Mr. Dunick. I suspect you're more than willing to answer the question. And that's usually how I feel like the committee could, work efficiently. Instead, we've gotten into these long sort of drawn-out explanations as to why the question was or was not appropriate or something like that, and we've quite frankly spent as much time with those explanations as we could with just letting Mr. Dunick answer the question as it was posed, for what it's worth.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. You know, I'm sorry for the lectures, but this particular committee, the jurisdiction of this committee, and you all know the struggles is complicated. We appoint the people who do this work, whether it is health and human services or transportation, all kinds of boards, veterans, And so we will have the opportunities to interact in those particular committees, but we want to make sure that those questions that are relevant to these structures, the governance, the work that they do, are answered here.
Madam Chair, the asking about the implementation and local partnership of the Thrive 2040 plan for the Met Council for the person who's going to be the chair of the Met Council is a completely appropriate question. And, you know, it's a very straightforward one that, I would suggest Mr. Dunnick could have answered in a time that would have taken much shorter, frankly, than what we've engaged in over the last 5 minutes.
Senator Johnson.
Madam Chair and members, I think it is very improper to be criticizing and stating that the chair of the committee is not operating all right. We are all supposed to address the chair when we want to speak. We don't start speaking without asking the chair to acknowledge us. And I think that should be something that we all keep in mind. It's very disturbing. Sometimes I feel like, as often, that women are considered to be less authoritative than males. And I don't like to see that happening in this body.
To that point, Madam Chair, I would just object. I would just object to that assertion. That has absolutely nothing to do with.
That's an example.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I would just say for the record, I've pointed out that our members' questions themselves have been interrupted a number of times, and I would hope that that courtesy is also extended to the members who are just asking very simple questions of the chair. Madam Chair, I don't even have a question. I did not plan to participate in this back and forth at all. In fact, for the record, I support Mr. Dunnick's confirmation for what it's worth.
Thank you, Senator.
I just don't feel as though our members are being able to ask direct questions. And also, I have absolutely no problem with a female chair of the committee whatsoever. Senator Torres-Ray, I've worked with you on a number of issues. Mm-hmm. I am objecting to a specific instance, an action that is being taken in the committee.
Senator,
and I don't
withdraw
that objection.
Senator Hayden.
Well, just to that point, Madam Chair, I also don't think that it would be. I think if we're going to prepare ourselves to ask questions in this committee or any committee, that we are prepared we have done our work in preparation to ask the committee. So I also don't think that it was improper if Senator Hall asked Mr. Dunnick about Thrive 24. That other members of the committee would ask Senator Hall, could he tell us a little more about Thrive 24 so that we can be informed? And it appeared that Senator Hall didn't, though he had questions that someone has given him that may know that, but that he wasn't prepared to ask to enlighten the committee on what it was that he was asking. And so I don't think it was improper to ask him that. I think Mr. Dunnick should answer the question and even help and enlighten those of us who may have not followed this closely, but I don't think it was improper to ask Senator Hall to expound on his question so that the members could be informed in terms of what we need to know in order to make the decisions that this committee has to make.
Thank you. Well, thank you, members. This was a good conversation that I didn't predicted we were going to have, but why don't you, in your closing remarks, please allude to that question, and then we are going to be ready for the motion. Mr. Dunnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Committee members, and thank you for the opportunity to be here. I've been able to meet with everybody around the table at least once, and hopefully a number of you more than once, and look forward to talking with you as we move forward. To answer the question about Thrive 2040, I think there's two things I'd say. One is that how we tried to structure Thrive 2040 is around outcomes, around five separate outcomes: livability, sustainability, equity, grasp for a couple of the other outcomes. But the language that we used in the term and the terminology we used was intentional to be bipartisan, to not be partisan. And I think that that's an important concept for people to understand. I think some of what is perceived about Thrive 2040 is it's, you know, the Met Council taking the region a certain way. But in fact, the 10 years in which we did our analysis and thinking about the next 30 years, there's just been a number of significant big changes to the region. One is travel behavior, just to give an example. Travel behavior changed in how people move around in a significant way. Where people live and where they located changed in a real significant way. A lot of that had to do with the recession and the timing of the analysis. And so I think the challenge on us as a planning agency is if things change pretty dramatically because of a recession for a number of years, does that mean that that change will then be will that continue into a 30-year pattern? Does that mean development patterns have significantly changed here permanently, or is that just kind of a blip in the radar? And I think the work that the council does and what we're going to have to do in the next 4 years is to work close. Again, I think this is an opportunity for us to work closely with cities and counties and to say, is your development pattern continuing to go that way? Are the housing permits down? Is the growth down in certain areas and up in certain areas? And even nationally, Pew just put out a research study last week showing that exurban and suburban growth is starting to rebound because gas prices are low. And so we have to kind of look at that regionally. What does that mean? Are the demographic changes that we predicted happening at the rate in which they are? And so I think of Thrive 2040 as an important document and a planning document, but that's what it is. It sets out a framework, and then from there we have to really implement underneath it and monitor the progress of the region.
Thank you, Mr. Dunick. At the request of Senator Hall, we are going to divide the motion for the appointment.
Thank you.
So Senator Eaton moves that the Committee on State and Local Government recommends that the Senate confirms the appointment of Katie Rodriguez, Lana Shriver, Gary Cunningham, Kara Latovsky, Jennifer Mundt, Dev Barber, Stephen Elkins, Gail Dorfman, Edward Reynoso, Mary McCarthy, Sandy Rummel, Harry Melander, Richard Kramer, Jonathan Commers, Stephen Chavez, and Wendy Wolf as members of the Metropolitan Council. All of those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion is adopted.
Madam Chair.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As we move to for the Met Council Chair, I want to state for the record I have some concerns about qualifications of Mr. Dunick, who is a real personal and likable person. But his qualifications of not managing really over 10 employees, and this is a 4,200 employee job. His background strongly leads towards partisan politics. And I'm even concerned with his extra close relationships with the governor's office. With that, I think we should be very concerned of the governor's appointment. And so I would move that the appointment for Mr. Adam Dunick as chair of the Met Council be referred to the Senate without recommendation.
Okay, we have to take a vote on that. All of those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The motion is not adopted. Senator Thompson.
Yes, Madam Chair, and I apologize. I had one of those mornings when I was booked in too many places at one time and haven't been here much. You know, I don't want to comment directly to Mr. Dunick himself. He came into the office, and we spent some time chatting, and I appreciate that. I try to presume that folks are going to operate in good faith until I know differently. But I want to comment on the story related by Senator Hall regarding Senator Hahn and also the story related by Senator Housley. I think the problem with the Met Council isn't always the individuals involved, even if it's the person leading the individual. The problem is this is an organization that started out years and years and years ago to do regional planning on sewer, buses, the like, that everybody kind of agreed needed to be managed centrally. Obviously, you have to coordinate those things. The problem is that it has expanded into something that many cities and other areas push back against because they feel they're being strong-armed. And so, really, when it boils down to it, Madam Chair and members, the Met Council has nothing if not the ability to exercise extreme force through fines, through threats, through stating that certain approvals won't happen that allow cities to do things. That is not the chair's fault. It's not the fault of the 16 members. I guess it is to the extent they could vote another way. But the very mission of the Met Council
dare I say it, is to a degree extortion. It is taking a central planning agency of unelected people, giving them a massively huge budget, and it has been stated 4,000 employees, and say, go force local governments to do this stuff even if they don't like it. So the problem isn't an individual member of the Met Council or even the chair of the Met Council. It's the very nature of the Met Council is antithetical to what we as Americans believe is just and fair government. And that is not a reflection on Mr. Dunick today. That is just, I want on the record, the problem with this organization is its very mission, in my view, is wrong and harmful and doesn't consider the principles of government that we normally apply in this country.
Senator Peterson, I appreciate two things about, I think what you said was incredibly important about separating kind of the policy. Senator Thompson, my apology. Separating the policy issue that we are really reviewing now from the individuals themselves and the work that you are trying to do on behalf of the state. I think that is a very important point. I think we're going to engage in that conversation now as to I completely disagree with you, Senator, with respect to the real need that we have to coordinate and to make sure that we have staff and resources appropriated for the purpose of coordinating our work, especially in infrastructure. I think is absolutely an imperative for the state of Minnesota. But we will engage in this conversation. It's a very important conversation, and we are ready for that. I think that a proposal is before the Senate and the House to convene these conversations over the interim, and I'm sure you're going to be incredibly busy, Mr. Dunick, along with the council members and your staff. So with that, Senator Eaton moves that the Committee on State and Local Government recommends that the Senate confirms the appointment of Adam Dunick as chair of the Metropolitan Council. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The motion is adopted. Congratulations, Mr. Dunick.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And with that, members, we will adjourn for today. Thank you. We did well. Only 10 minutes into